AEHE is impartial and assumes no responsibility nor liability for statements made on the following program. The People's Voice comes to you four times daily, 9:30 a.m., 12:30 noon, 7 and 11 p.m. It is compiled under the direction of Clifford E. Clinton and is paid for by Clifton's, the cafeterias of the Golden Rule. Clifton's are located at 618 South Olive Street and 648 South Broadway in Los Angeles. It is a part of the work of the Civic Committee, also paid for by Clifton's, and those who contribute a dollar or more a year in the cause of good government. Civic is at your service in any matter pertaining to honest, efficient government. Headquarters are at 618 South Olive Street, telephone Trinity 1673. Now you hear the voice of Mr. Clinton's son, Edmund. This is the 1180th broadcast of the People's Voice. Ernest Chamberlain will now interview Shalene V. Eckerson, Civic endorsee from the 6th District.
Mrs. Eckerson, listen to this letter.
Gentlemen don't prefer blondes in the city council. If there's one thing Los Angeles don't want, it's petticoat government. Why doesn't Mrs. Eckerson stay home and dust her own furniture, wipe the children's noses? They have janitors in the city hall, and the councilmen know how to use hankies. We're going to get gay back in the city council, despite Mayor Byron, Clifford Clinton, the Reds, and the Petticoat Brigade. Who does she think she is, anyway? Mrs. Roosevelt?
Well, who wrote that letter?
It is bravely signed, a patriot. No, yes, yes, I thought for a moment it might be Gatriot.
And he wants to get gay back in the council, where we need more business and less gaiety. He's over-solicitous about my poor, neglected children, who are now married, own property, and have children of their own. Mothers and teachers would not force themselves into politics if corrupt politics did not force its way into the homes and the schools.
How does it happen that the forces behind you united on a woman, knowing it is more difficult ordinarily to elect a woman than to elect a man?
The fight started long ago. Men with business responsibilities soon learned that the dominant political forces in the district would exact business reprisals, threaten and intimidate, and use all sorts of pressure. My children were grown, and I found myself free to fight. I worked with every good government group, and when it came to agreeing upon a candidate, they asked me to make the race. They could not agree upon others.
And in spite of this, your opponent calls you a communist?
Of course, that charge is untrue. It is the charge which opponents have made against Mayor Bowron, John Anson Ford, Shirley Temple, Governor Olson, and President Roosevelt. Of course, I am on the board of directors of the YWCA, which certainly is not communistic.
Yes, all Los Angeles was formerly told that only the Shaws, Kynettes, and others of their crowd were qualified defenders of the Stars and Stripes. But aside from the fact that your ancestors came from England and Sweden before the Revolution, tell us something of your background.
My people were Virginians who went to Iowa. My husband comes from a long line of West Point and Army people. My father was a merchant and a rancher. My husband is secretary of the Union Labor Benefit League. Two sons-in-law are in the federal post office under civil service.
No Bolsheviks there. What has been your work?
My first job as a girl was in the campaign of Charles Haskell, the first governor of Oklahoma. I came to California and married in 1909 and was busy raising my family. When my girls were in school, I became active in parent-teacher, started out in the charge of feeding undernourished children, stayed in PTA work for 15 years, and became my district's first director of parent education.
You have strong club support. Are you a club woman?
I am chairman of education of the Southie Bell Club, president of the League of Women Shoppers, and a member of the Los Angeles Campfire Council and the League of Women Voters.
No social clubs?
I'm sorry, I haven't time.
But what of your program? Is it radical?
Not unless fair, honest, efficient government is a radical departure in Los Angeles. That is all I ask. It includes safety tunnels for school children, crosstown cars, reasonable transportation charges, protection of homeowners from spot zoning and other property hazards, including airplanes that often come down in backyards. Is that communistic?
Keep up the fight, Mrs. Eckerson. The people know you're not a Red. Just red, white, and blue all the way through. Mr. Chamberlain has a question to put to Jack Berman of the 9th District. who is here, I see.
Berman, it is charged that you opposed the establishment of a drive-in theater in your district to compete with your theaters. How about it?
I'm glad to answer that in the presence of Mrs. Eckerson, who has been so long in parent-teacher work. This application was for a permit to build a drive-in theater in the northern part of the district. I was president of the Independent Theater Owners Association of Southern California, a protective group of small theater owners seeking to prevent big business from destroying the independent man. This drive-in theater was not close enough to injure my business, but I was called to aid the theaters in this section of the city, which would be affected, as well as to protect all independent theater owners from encroachment by chain enterprise. The Supreme Court of the United States has recently upheld many of our contentions against chain practices. I believe in protecting the small businessman. In this instance, the Shaw Planning Commission favored their permit. A majority of the council finally overruled granting the permit, largely due to the influence of the Parent Teachers Association, which opposes this type of theater because young people constitute a majority of their audiences. Neighbors also protested the theater as a community disturbance injurious to property values.
Thank you, Jack Y. Berman. And Jack Berman is over there in the 9th District. And we have time, I see, for a few questions from Ralph Gray of the 12th District.
Gray, this is getting to be terrible. Here, Mrs. Eckerson is being called a communist for no good reason, and I hear that you are charged with being a big, bad Republican.
I'm a Republican, but not so big.
And not so bad, either. He's a fine fighter for clean, progressive government, I'll say that, because I know. Calling candidates communist here, Democrat there, Republican the other place, merely shows the desperation of the old Shaw crowd, seeking to raise partisan spirit in a nonpartisan election.
I'm old-fashioned enough to believe in honest government, and independent enough to support a good Democrat when he's right. That is why I fought the Republican Frank Shaw and supported the Democrat John Anson Ford. I'm proud Republicans helped recall Shaw, and the Democrats helped elect Bowen.
Mr. Gray, what are some of the problems of your district?
Property owners are aroused over tax burdens. They face a problem similar to those I and my clients faced a few years ago when I disposed of several pieces of income property because the taxes came to 25% or more of the gross income. In poorer areas, we have problems of housing, unemployment, and hunger. Much small business is just getting by. The 12th District is a cross-section of Los Angeles, which feels that the need of the people, rather than the greed of a political machine, should get major attention. That is why it went so heavily for Mayor Bowron, who happens to be a Republican, though the registration is 2-1 Democratic. The district is independent enough and intelligent enough to vote its convictions in a nonpartisan election.
Thank you, Ralph H. Gray.
And now Aldrich Blake from the People's Front.
Citizens of Los Angeles, the enemy, through its anonymous voice on another station, is attempting to discredit the drive to collect a modest campaign fund for the candidates of good government by small contributions from the people. This mysterious person who conceals his identity precisely as the sinister forces of politics always try to keep out of sight may be a great orator, but he is a poor mathematician. In his last Friday night broadcast, he figured that at the rate of $10 per precinct, the total campaign fund of the candidates of good government would be $48,500, or more than $3,000 for each candidate. This is a slight miscalculation. There are less than 2,500 precincts in Los Angeles instead of more than 4,800, as stated by the anonymous voice. Therefore, if every precinct contributed $10, which they will not, the total campaign fund would be only about one-half the sum told you by this mystery man. Does he realize, do you realize, that a campaign fund of $1,700 per councilmanic district is hardly enough to pay the cost of one letter to each of the voters in a councilmanic district? Is this a slush fund? Do Tammany Hall machines limit their expenditures to 3 cents per voter? You who have been denounced as snoopers, do you think you can do much snooping at 3 cents per snoop? Precinct leaders, citizens of Los Angeles, This small amount of money is needed for legitimate campaign purposes. Since when has it become a crime for the people to finance their candidates? Raise the precinct fee. If you do not know the name of your precinct leader, send your contribution direct to the Civic Committee, 618 South Olive Street, and it will be credited to your councilmanic district. Yes, we continue to hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of marching feet. The people are on the march. When the people march, their power is irresistible.
Thank you, Aldrich Blake.
And now, John L. Bogue with Monday at the Joe Shaw Trial.
Attorney Cantillon closed his argument this afternoon. Defense Attorney Roland Swaffield, acknowledged master of courtroom pleading, began his closing argument at 2:30 this afternoon. 40 minutes were spent in a felicitous testimonial meeting. Jurors, prosecution counsel, Joe Shaw, Will Cormack, and Buren Fitz came in for high compliments. Mr. Swaffield dramatically and oratorically pictured the signing of the American Constitution and introduced Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, the American flag, and the presumption of innocence, the fundamental gospel of American liberty, into his opening address. In his closing remarks, Mr. Cantillon, attorney for Mr. Cormack, injected a very subtle doubt as to Gravatt's credibility by attempting to show that in three instances when Gravatt stated that he had conversation with Cormack in 1937, he was still on his European trip. Corroboration of Gravatt's testimony, presumption of innocence, and the law of reasonable doubt are evidently the three lines along which the defense will fight for acquittal. The case will probably go to the jury Tuesday night or Wednesday morning following the closing argument of the prosecution presented by Deputy Eugene Williams. The legal evidence is all in. In a few hours, the jury will have the case and will proceed to reach a verdict. Will it be guilty or not guilty? No one can anticipate the action of a jury. Whichever way it goes, it is quite apparent that there was an exceedingly odoriferous condition very near the heart of Los Angeles city government. And for that condition, someone should be punished.
Thank you, John Bogue. And John says that that will be the last report from the trial, inasmuch as the case will be in the hands of the jury within a few hours.
A review of Civic's candidates for the city council.
And how about the first district?
Delamere Francis McCloskey.
Second district?
Norris J. Nelson.
Third?
Stephen Cunningham.
Fourth?
Robert L. Burns.
Fifth?
Arthur E. Briggs.
Sixth?
Shalene V. Eckerson.
Seventh?
Carl C. Rasmussen.
Eighth?
Evan Lewis.
Ninth?
Jack Y. Berman.
Tenth?
G. Vernon Bennett.
11th?
Harold Harvey.
12th?
Ralph H. Gray.
13th?
Roy Hampton.
14th?
George Knox Roth.
15th?
Wilder W. Hartley.
And the Board of Education.
Lawrence L. Larrabee, Leah Lovell, Elizabeth McManus, and John L. Bogue.
I'm asked a question here.
Why isn't the job of securing a finer city being done since we elected Bowron?
The answer, I'd say, is simply this. The job has only started. It is true, but that is more than we could say for many years. It is making slow progress for the reason that the opposition entrenched these many years is still more highly organized than the great body of citizens. Many of our citizens are still being deceived by the charges of dictatorship which are hurled at those who attempt to better conditions. The charges that the good government forces are, in reality, wolves in sheep's clothing, that it is just one bad bunch taking the place of another, that we are communists and other such scare threats which are completely unfounded. In addition, our people are split apart upon so many extraneous issues. For instance, I have a traffic accident held up as a demon tearing around the town, mowing down helpless citizens.
You can see why the task has never been done. Who wants to stand firm in the cause against years and years of the avalanche of abuse, ridicule, defamation, and physical harm that ensues from evil forces? What businessman dare risk his business to attack such conditions? Who wants his family subjected to such harassment?
And I see our program is up, so we'll have to conclude this at another time.
Now back to your announcer.
People's Voice is made possible by Clifton's and those who contribute a dollar or more a year for good government. KEHE is impartial and assumes no responsibility nor liability for statements made on the foregoing program.